Well, this morning, I just want to have a pretty simple message. So nothing deep theologically. Maybe that will be next week. We'll get into, who knows, we'll maybe talk about predestination or something like that. I'm sure that's what you've been longing for. You can write me and say, I would like to hear about such and such. And that's good, because it also lets me know where your hunger is. But this morning, I want to talk about hunger. Sometimes, honestly, you think about it, it's one of the most basic things in life. And I know that everybody here has experienced it. Every one of us. We have personal experience of hunger. I could ask you this morning, right now, are you hungry? Oh, I heard a yes. I heard a yes, I'm hungry. And you may be thinking about potato salad. You may be thinking about, I don't know, pasta, your favorite meal, a steak, you know, the kind of things. Maybe you're just an all-carb person, or maybe you're a no-carb person, or maybe you're just on, I don't know, maybe you have a special diet, maybe you don't. But it's easy to know that if you're not hungry now, you will be, right? You will be hungry. That's part of life. It's guaranteed. And it's natural. It's absolutely natural to be hungry. So we know there's nothing wrong with you if you're hungry. Absolutely, there's everything right with you. It would be unnatural to not be hungry. And so in essence, what hunger does, it reminds us of something very, very simple. It's time to eat, right? It's time to eat. You should eat something. It's time to gain nourishment to satisfy your hunger. And, you know, we can ignore hunger, and that's fine, because we know that. We can ignore hunger, and the hunger actually will go away. You know that? You ever experienced that, right? Like, if we say, okay, I'm just going to tell my stomach right now that you want to eat, but you're not going to eat, okay? We're going to just pass on by. We don't have time, whatever it is. And the hunger goes away. But then it comes back, right? It goes away, but it comes back, because it's still reminding you that it's time to gain something nourishing. In some ways, hunger is a gift. Now, I could also say that about pain. And sometimes people say, what? Pain? Pain's a gift. Because think about it. If you can't feel pain, and you know there are people who cannot feel pain. It's a condition. I don't know what the condition is called. Some people medically in here, you may know what the condition is called, but you can't feel pain, and you know that's a serious issue, because if you know you put your hand on a stove, what is it that tells you to get your hand off the stove? A hot stove, right? It's pain, because pain tells you, get your hand off quick, or you feel the heat, and you know, get your hand off the stove, because if you don't have that, I mean, serious injuries have happened to people. So hunger is also a gift, because it tells you, for your basic survival, that you need to eat. You need nourishment. Now, of course, we can take that too far, and we do, but the message is clear. The message is clear. And it's also the condition where you have control over it. You can tell your body, no, stomach, you will remain empty. My kids tell me they're hungry a lot. Not because we don't feed them, because praise God, we do feed our kids. Put that on record, we do feed our kids. But they're hungry a lot, even when you feed them. And there's different reasons why they're hungry, but one of the main reasons is because they're growing. They're getting bigger. They're getting stronger. And they need to be fed. Sometimes they're hungry all times of day, from the waking hours to the going to bed. They want to eat. But they're growing, and they're active. And so they burn more calories than we do, and they're very active, and they need that nourishment. Growing kids need to eat a lot, right? You've already had that experience. I'm sure we're going to gain that experience more and more as they get bigger and bigger and bigger into their teenage years. But we also know that there's more than just physical hunger. So we can talk about physical hunger, but there's a good analogy to that. But there's also hunger for other things. There's hunger for intimacy. That's also very natural to us. We all have that natural tendency to need connection. We need connection with others. We're not meant to be alone. We weren't created that way. So each one of us, even from our very first hours in this world, we desire connection. We're looking for it. Do you know a baby? You probably know this, right? Can open its eyes when it's born, like initially, like can open, and it has a heightened sense of smell has a heightened sense of taste and touch. Like there's this hypersensitivity that a baby has for a window. And all of that is to really find connection with mommy, right? With daddy, to be connected. That's a time of, actually, they say it's a time where you should just hold your baby. They've actually changed the medical practices of delivering babies. You know, usually they would just rush them off and into a ward somewhere and do all the medical stuff, and you wouldn't see the child for hours. But then they researched this and said, wait a minute, this heightened sensitivity awareness of babies is actually a window to put the child on the mother's breast and to let her sit there. So they now put dirty babies on mommies, right? That's what they did when our babies were born. And we understood that ahead of time and say, this is a blessing. This is a blessing. Don't clean the child up before you put on. Just put the baby on the mother's breast and let her, and let the child smell and see and sense. I mean, you even see those pictures where the baby will look up at the mommy and open the eyes. And we saw that with our children. And they're looking. They're saying, they're looking for nourishment. They're looking for connection. If the very early in life, they're looking to bond. And those were powerful bonds are created. So we know these things, even medically speaking. Now we know a baby at a mother's breast will quickly identify where there is nourishment there. But it's not, we say, it's not just the mother's milk, but there's an emotional bond. There's a connection that the baby feels, the warmth of the parents, of the mother. There is something that is actually being nourished on the inside of that baby. And it's a wonderful analogy for us as we are born into the kingdom of God. We have a longing for God. There's a hunger for God. We want connection because we are discovering things that we did not know. There's something of the Spirit. There's something that we desire. And so we learn to receive the living Word of God and to be intimate with God and to know God intimately. It literally feeds our spirit and blesses our soulish realm. So we learn this early in our Christian walk. I remember when I first became a Christian, I was a teenager. And I grew up in a church, but when it came really personal to me is when I fully accepted the Lord. I came forward at altar call, and it was very real to me. I felt the Spirit of God on that. And after that, I was hungry to read the Word. I want the Word. And I remember before I didn't, but then when I came to the Lord, I wanted it. It was natural to me. And so I would stay up late at night and read the Word of God. Every night I would read the Word of God. And sometimes the school would be the next day, but it would be past midnight. I would still read the Word of God. I just had this desire, this hunger to really get into the Word of God and know the Word of God. And it was feeding me. It was feeding. And you don't even fully understand it. When Jesus says, feed upon me like bread, like the bread of life, there is literally a feeding on the Lord. There's a little feeding on the Word of God that brings nourishment on the inside of you. We don't fully understand it because it's not something we can see, but we understand the analogy of eating food. We also understand the analogy there's spiritual food that we need to eat and partake of to nourish us, each one of us. And so I remember that time in my life. Yet I also know that my hunger that I had then has not always carried with me throughout my whole life. I've not always been as hungry as I was at that time of my life, and we've all experienced that too. But I do know that hunger has caused me, in my life has caused me to increase my time with God. Increase my time with God. And I would say that also meeting with God increased my hunger. You know, it's interesting, but I would say this morning that my understanding is that hunger is actually something that is a good indicator of a growing Christian. Just like my children, I would say, you know, they're one indicator that they're growing is that they're hungry, right? They need lots of nourishment. That's an indicator. Well, I would also say our hunger spiritually is also an indicator of what it is to be a growing Christian. And we also need to have a mindset that we're always growing. We always can be growing in the Lord. There's not just a coming to the Lord and that's it. Now, some people kind of do that. I mean, I don't understand how some Christians approach their faith But I guess it's what they're taught or what they understand. Some Christians don't read the Word of God for themselves because they believe a priest is supposed to do that for them. I don't get that. I've heard that. I've heard that, and I just don't get that. Because obviously they're stunting their growth. Or there are those who don't spend time with the Lord. And so they're stunting their growth. But our hunger is so important for our growth. Now in life we can become distracted. In life we can lose our hunger. It all happens to every one of us. But you know that you could be hungry again? That you can come back to a time and a place of hunger for God? And it can increase in us. Sometimes it simply takes us to be very intentional. Intentional with God. Now, I'm not bringing this up to make anybody feel guilty this morning if you're not feeling hunger spiritually. Actually, it's more of an invitation than it is to make anybody feel guilty, because we go through seasons where we're not very hungry. We're not very hungry for God or the things of God or for the Word of God. We're not very hungry to take in nourishment, and we don't realize sometimes, but we're in some ways starving ourselves in a spiritual sense. But sometimes it's just simply as speaking to God and saying, God, I want to be hungry again. I want to be hungry like I used to be when I was a babe in the Lord. Or different times in your life. Or maybe hungrier than you've ever been, because you want to experience more of God. Understand this, spiritual hunger is actually a gift. Is actually a gift of God, because what does it do? It draws you to God. It gets you into a place where you're seeking Him, where you desire Him, and you want more of Him. It's a gift. It's a gift to be spiritually hungry. Now, Moses is an interesting case for us to look at. Now, if you think about Moses, he was like 80 years old before the Lord met him at the burning bush. He spent half his life in the wilderness. And he thought his life was done. That was the end of his life. He would just live his life out in the wilderness as a sheep herder, really. He had had a major failure 40 years earlier. He tried to be strong for the people of God. He tried to give his strength to do something for the people of God, but he failed miserably. He absolutely failed miserably. And sometimes that happens in life. We can absolutely fail miserably. And sometimes we realize we were trying to do things in our own strength, and what a miserable failure. And sometimes it may take 40 years in the wilderness to have a different framework in the way to see things. Now, when God first met with Moses, we know he was afraid. He was afraid. And he didn't want, because he said, no, not me. God, you've got the wrong person. You need to go find somebody else. And he was speaking about his skills and everything else, but this is also, this meeting with God was very intimidating to him. It was very overwhelming to him. But God says, I will be with you. You're not going alone, but go. And he did. He took that, he committed to walk with God. And boy, did he see things. Because God's promises were with him. And he saw God very up close and personal. He saw the miracles. He saw a God of salvation. He saw a holy God. He saw a righteous God. A God of power. He had a very up close experience of this God. And it changed him, where he was no longer just a herder of sheep. It changed him on the inside, where he became one of the greatest leaders known to man, of mankind. One of the greatest leaders that we think about. Even our legal system in our country today has been affected by Moses and what he did thousands of years ago. It's amazing. But yet he was just a sheep herder. But the more Moses walked with God, the more he knew God. And yet, Moses wanted to know him even more. Even more. You would think he would have been satiated in his hunger, but he wasn't. What he actually experienced actually made him hungrier. Isn't that interesting? We see his story in Exodus 33:12. Actually, we'll pick up here. But this is after the Mount Sinai encounter. This is where he goes up to be with the Lord in his presence for like 40 days, and he's spending time with God. He brings the Ten Commandments down, and of course, there's this awful thing that happens with the golden calf and the people rebelling. But he comes back to God, and he actually intercedes for the people the people of God. And he prays unto the Lord. And he says, Moses is speaking now with the Lord. He says to the Lord, you have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways, so that I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people. The Lord replied, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Then Moses said to him, well, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you and I know you by name. Then Moses said, now show me your glory. Now show me your glory. Now think about Moses. He had been up to Mount Sinai with God. He had experienced the splitting of the Red Sea. He had experienced the 10 plagues, all the miracles of God. He saw God very closely and the power of God and what God could do. And he knew he had, and the people of God, they had favor with God. Even though at this point, God was very angry at the people of Israel for their rebellion with the golden calf. But it's interesting, because in this conversation with God, what Moses is saying is, God, I want more. I've seen you. I've experienced you. But I'm actually more hungry for you than maybe I've ever been. And he requests these three things. He requests to say, Lord, teach me your ways. I want to know your ways. I don't want to err in any way in my life. I don't want the people of God to err and to be in error in any way. Teach us your ways so that we will follow close with you, that we would walk close with you, that we would know you day and night. This is his heart. His heart is expressing. And you know, you would think, Moses knows the ways of God, right? He's been walking with God, but he says, no, it's not enough. Teach me your ways all the more that I'm grounded in you. I think that's a great prayer to just say, God, what pleases you? What pleases you? Lord, I want to live my life to please you. God, would you teach me your way so that I could please you, so the things I do are in step with you, that I will walk with you closely? Moses wanted this, and he shows us what it is to hunger more for a closer walk with God. And then number two, he says, God, give us your presence. Give us your presence. We don't want to go anywhere if you're not there. You may send us up and say, you see, because God was saying, go up to the promised land. I'm sending an angel before you. Because in this conversation before, he talks about sending an angel before them that they could go into the promised land, but he was not going to go. And part of that was his anger towards a rebellious people. But Moses says, we're not going anywhere. Not without you. He's saying that what makes us a unique people, what makes us uniquely yours, is the fact that you are with us. Your presence is with us. We're not like any other nation. And other nations know that when you're with us, we're strong. We're undefeatable. When you're not with us, we're weak. And we want your presence. And of course, here's someone who has experienced being in the temple with God and the presence of God descending upon the temple, or I should say the tent of meeting. And there, he's talking with God in an intimate fashion. He's saying, Lord, we're not going anywhere, not without you, because your presence distinguishes us as a people of God. And you know, that's the same for us today. God's presence distinguishes us as a people of God. And sometimes we need to say, Lord, We don't want to go in life. I don't want to go another inch in life without your presence. And you know what? If you have to get serious with God, get serious with God. Because sometimes you have to be like Jacob to wrestle with God and say, Lord, bless me. Because I'm not going another step further without your blessing. I'm not going another step further without your presence. See, that's hunger. That's hunger. That's hunger being expressed inside of you. It's like, God, I need you. I don't want to do life without you. I don't want to be alone. I don't want to be facing things in life by myself. I not only do not want that feeling, I want to know what it is to walk with. Even if I have to walk through the valley of the shadow of the death, God says he will be with us. And so, Lord, I don't want to walk through anything apart from you. Sometimes that simply can be our prayer. God, we must have your presence. It's who we are as your people. We're not even your people without your presence. Your presence, Lord, is everything to us. And then three, finally Moses asked, show me your glory. Show me your glory. And here's someone who has had glimpses. He's had glimpses. He's been in the cloud. He's experienced more than anybody has experienced. Moses had, yet he was hungrier than anybody else. Isn't that amazing? He's experienced more of God than anybody, and yet he's more hungry than everybody else. Because he wanted more of God. And he says, show me your glory, Lord. Show me your glory. He wasn't satisfied. Now, he wasn't saying that he was miserable. He wasn't saying that he was not happy. He was just saying he wanted more. He wanted more. Have you ever had the touch of God that actually made you more hungry for God? Have you ever had the presence of God that actually made you want to be in his presence all the more? Have you ever experienced being in the Word where the Word came so alive, it was just feeding you, that it actually made you even more hungry for the Word to spend time in the Word? Isn't it interesting that when we feed upon the Lord, it actually develops an appetite in us? What is your appetite today? What's your appetite for? So Moses hungered for more. He knew there was more. But when we encounter God, we do have a personal connection with him, each one of us. We're invited to that. Every one of us is invited to a personal, intimate relationship with God. And nobody can have that relationship for you. You have to enter into that relationship yourself. And you're invited, right? Each of us is invited into the knowledge, the personal knowledge of God, to walk with him, to know him, to taste and see that the Lord is good. Each one of us. And we are. We're to partake. We're to taste. You know, in some ways, when Jesus says something so radical to say, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood, that's such a radical statement. Of course, it turned a lot of people off. They thought he was crazy. But yet there's something in that where we partake of him, and it's not literal body and blood, right? It's not the transubstantiation. But it's still the full presence of God. It's his fullness that we taste and we partake of. And we come back and say, Lord, more of you. Because when we do, we know that our life with God is richer. It's more meaningful. It has purpose. We realize that we're stronger with God when we spend time with him. We realize there's peace in knowing him. Even when times are rough, we know that we gain wisdom and insight that did not come from ourselves. It did not come from our own thinking, but God gave it to us. And oftentimes, it's when we spend time with the Lord, he'll download something into us that he's just giving us his wisdom, his understanding. Honestly, life is just simply better with God as opposed to being independent of him. Now, throughout the Bible, and this is just do Bible studies on people who are hungry for God. Moses wasn't the only one. David was also somebody who displayed and talked about his hunger for God. Psalm 42, 1 through 2 is a very familiar passage. And this is when King David was going through trials and struggles. here we're talking about King David. He says this. He says, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? He's just expressing his hunger. This is hunger. This is thirsting. This is something on the inside of him that longs to be with God. And sure, there's trials and there's struggles in life sometimes that will send us to seek God more and to hunger for God more, especially when you feel like you're in a dry and weary land where you're parched spiritually. It's like the example of being in a desert. And I remember the time we were at a YWAM base in Juarez, Mexico, and that's just across the border from El Paso, and that's desert. That's dry land. One of our assignments there was to help clear a ball field that they would have for teams coming in. And there had been a tree. The tree was cut down, but there were still roots. There were still roots there. I may have told the story to you, but we had to dig these roots out. Now, that may not be the same as trying to dig the roots out of, like, this tree up in our front here, because a lot of our trees grow out the roots. But when you're in the desert, roots grow down. And why do they grow down? Because you can't find surface water in the first 2 or 3 feet that you can here. In the desert, the roots have to find water, and sometimes the water is down deep. And my goodness, we dug and dug and dug to the point where the hole was over my head, and people were climbing in and having to climb out to dig these roots to the fund. We're enough, this is enough, we've done enough. But the root was still going deeper, because it was looking and searching for water to sustain itself. Sometimes that's what deserts do, and that's what sometimes desert seasons. If you don't realize, sometimes thank God for your desert season, because it caused you to get your roots deeper in the Lord, to seek after him with a greater heart and a passion that you had. Because if you were just having life so easy and life so nice, you never would have sought the Lord in the way that you did. And sometimes we want the easy life, but sometimes the easy life is a very shallow life with God. And sometimes in America, we suffer from shallow Christianity because we don't want to get our roots deep. We don't want to long after God and have this heart that David has, because he says, I'm longing. And yes, he's going through trials, he's going through difficulties, but he longs for God to be in his presence, because he remembers and he knows. He's tasted. He's tasted and seen. He knows what it is to be in the presence of God. And he longs for it. Well, the Lord invites us. He invites us to that place. But you know, there's sometimes when God is so easily to be found. And there's sometimes it's like God is not so easily to be found. And you know what? I think he does it on purpose. And that sounds like, oh no, God's not a mean God. He's not a mean God. He doesn't do that. But I think he does. You ever read Song of Solomon? When the bride and the bridegroom, but it's also a story of the church and the bride and the bridegroom, the church in Christ. It's also a story of that. But there's the time when the bride wakes up and he's not there. He's not there. Where has he gone? Where has he gone? And he goes and she goes out into the night, in the middle of the night, searching and cannot find. And nobody knows where he is. But there's a longing. In her soul, there's a longing to find and to be with the bridegroom. I wonder if sometimes we have those longings that would get us up in the middle of the night and seek and pray and cry out and ask God and to spend time with him. There's sometimes we need to get in that position where we long for the Lord and we go and we say, Lord, I'll spend more time with you. I want more time with you. I need more time with you. And it doesn't have to be just when we're going through difficulties and when we're going through hardships. But sometimes we need to pray, Lord, would you stoke my hunger? Would you stir my hunger for you? Because all we need is, we just need a little thirst, a little hunger, that we can act and say, Lord, yes, I'm going to spend time with you. I'm not going to rely on a 10-minute devotion anymore. Out the door, on the way, I'm going to spend time with you. I'm making time with you. I'm going to get up earlier. Or I'm going to go every night when I go to bed. I'm going to let my last thoughts be upon you, upon your word. See, there's things. See, what does it say? The Bible says, meditate on the word day, morning, and evening. Wake up with it. Go to bed with it. Why? Because it feeds your soul. It makes you strong in the Lord. It makes us strong in the in God. And it actually grows our appetite. The more we feed on the Lord, it may seem contradicted, but the more we feed on God, the hungrier we are, because we're developing an appetite for Him, for His presence. We want more. And the good thing about God is He's a never-ending source. We cannot exhaust Him. There's always more. Even when He removes Himself to the point where we have to get our roots to grow deeper. You know, trees with deep roots are kind of hard to knock over when the storm comes. You know, we see it. We see it out in the woods and different places. We see the trees that are knocked over. And we look at the roots, and it's just this kind of wide roundness, but the roots aren't very deep. But deep roots will hold you in place and give you a strong placement with God. Now listen to the words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5:6. Jesus' words are very clear. He says, blessed, blessed. Right? Do we know what it is to be blessed? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Other translations say, for they will be satisfied. Hunger and thirst. Hunger is a gift. Thirst can be a gift. We don't always realize it, but it's the very thing that can cause us to draw closer to God in a way that we would not otherwise. Hunger drives us. You know, we can be physically hungry, really hungry, and we'll stop everything to grab something to eat. And we can be emotionally hungry, desiring companionship, and sometimes we will look sometimes to the craziest places to find satisfaction. You can be hungry to achieve something, and we will work hard, we will put in extra hours, we will work diligently to achieve the very thing we're hungry to achieve. But we can also be spiritually hungry, where nothing else matters but Him. But Him. Your schedule for the day, that it doesn't really matter. The things that you have to do and accomplish that day or that week, it doesn't really matter. In fact, you can just cancel some appointments right now, because inside of you there's a hunger to meet with God. And you don't just need a 10-minute devotion. You need some time to be with the Lord, to worship, to be in the Word. Again, this is an invitation to say there is more. But it's your hunger. It's your hunger that will drive you there. Desire is not necessarily a bad thing. Desire can very much be a good thing. Now, we can look at it, desire for fleshly living and things of this earth, well, they'll lead us astray, because we're not meant for those things, to long after them, to run after them. Yet desire for God will lead us to Him. They will lead us to Him. It becomes our purpose in life. And in life, it becomes our purpose to know Him and to be known by Him. Just read people who are in love with Jesus. That will stir your hunger. Get a devotion of someone who expresses how they meet with God, how they're hungry for God, how God satisfies their desire of their heart, of their soul for the Lord. Read from hungry people. It'll make you hungry. Read the prayers of hungry people. Read the Psalms. It will stir hunger in you. We are blessed to hunger after God. It's a blessing to hunger after Him, to go after Him, to seek Him, to be in His presence, for we will be satisfied in His presence. But we know it's not a one and done. It's just a, Lord, it's a life of being before Him. But I tell you, when you have that and when you go a season without, you feel the difference. You know what it's like to be dry. You know what it's like to be dry spiritually. We all have those experiences. And I think the reality is sometimes we need those experiences to remind us to come back to him with hunger. And say, Lord, only you. And it gives us a revelation and knowledge that only you can truly satisfy my hunger. Only you. The things of this world, they sometimes have a temporary fix or a temporary satisfaction, but they don't satisfy like God does, like his presence does. And so sometimes it's good to be dry, because the Lord can fill us and satisfy us once again. So what are we hungry for? What is our appetite this morning? It's an invitation to draw closer with God. It's an invitation to draw unto him. And no matter what it is, sometimes we get distracted in life. Sometimes there seems to be more urgent matters. But we want and desire. Act upon that want and desire. Even if it's a little bit, that little something. Again, you can ignore your physical hunger. It'll go away. It'll come back. You could fast for 3 days and your hunger will actually stop for a time. There actually is a place when you fast for a certain amount of time, your hunger will stop. But I don't want any of us to stop hungering spiritually for God. We can ignore those gifts of God that remind us to come spend time, to come be in the Word. We can ignore those too, and they'll go away. But they'll come back again to remind us, spend time. Spend time with the Lord. Don't get so caught up in the things of this world. Don't get so caught up. There's so much. There's a greater feast to come to. There's a greater partaking of. And the things of this world just won't fulfill. It won't have the fulfillment. We know that. But we need to let that hunger come back and remind us. It's time to eat. It's time to get nourishment. It's time to come to living waters and drink, and to drink deeply. And my prayer is, oh God, let it stir something in you that's so satisfying, that's so wonderful, that's so alive, that it blesses you. Like Jesus speaks about, blessed are those who hunger and thirst. And he's not just talking about right behavior. Because righteousness is of Christ, is from Christ, is him. We're literally clothed with him, his righteousness. We can say right standing with God, but that's a relationship with God. Jesus is righteousness. So the more we know his way. So can we ask the Lord, I don't know if this is going to be your prayer, but say, Lord, show me your ways. God, never let me go anywhere without your presence. And God, may I see your glory, just a glimpse. Can I behold you in your amazing ways? And I just pray, Lord, stir the hunger